We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Okay, welcome in from the Superdome. Episode 126 of Hogan Johns, and the Bears lose, which we thought was going to happen, but what an interesting game today, and a lot happened. You can read all about it. We wrote about it. We're going to spill it all out here. There's a lot to get to. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read our post-game reaction at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and please subscribe and rate the podcast on iTunes, the TuneIn Radio app, or the WGN Radio app. Our podcast voicemail line is open for you. 312-222-5050. I'm sure plenty of the reaction there will be heated. But look, this was a frustrating loss for the Bears today for a number of reasons. But what should we start with the Zach Miller situation?
Well, that's the injury itself was gruesome. The continuous replays of it in the Superdome, I thought, were nonsensical. It was appalling. After a point, locker room was very emotional after his loss. Very heartfelt responses for a team leader, one of the veteran go-to guys on this team. And just in general, that sort of typifies the Bears season, does it not, in a way? Star player, or one of their best players, injured on a touchdown play that was overturned. Mind-boggling in a lot of ways. It just didn't make sense to me how it was overturned. But I know you got a good article on WGN Radio about it, so go ahead.
Well, before we get to the officiating part of it, because it is mind-boggling, let's keep the focus on Zach Miller first. I just feel awful for the guy. I just feel so... He is a tremendous teammate, a great person. He's outstanding to us. He will get my good guy vote this year, no matter... I don't care if he only played half the season. He deserves it. And that's an award we give out every year to the person that's most helpful to the media. But beyond that, I mean, he's an underrated player. He is a good NFL tight end. And his entire career has been filled with not just injuries, but bad injuries. Broken bones. And now it appears to be a dislocated knee and probably multiple ligaments in that knee torn up. A long, long recovery might not ever be the same. I mean, I hate to say it, but this could potentially be career ending at the point he is in his career. But you know what? He's overcome so much. It won't shock me if he somehow manages to overcome this. It just, as Adam Shaheen put it after the game, it just sucks.
He is in the last year of his deal, his contract with the Bears. He is, what, 34, 32? So he's on the wrong side of 30. You already drafted a kid in the second round. So this may not be career ending, but it could be Bears ending, which is, you're right. This guy was a go-to guy for us. So professional in so many aspects of his job. Just the tireless work ethic to bring himself back from so many injuries. A true professional amongst his teammates. A true professional with us. Just very respectful. Very looked up to from a lot of different players. I mean, Danny Trevathan called him one of his best friends on the team. It's a huge loss. I mean, the team was clearly impacted by it.
Zach just turned 33 at the beginning of this month, and yeah, I mean, it was a tough situation to see that, and the replays were tough to watch. And I agree with you. I realized that they were replaying. The NFL was replaying the play, reviewing the play. But I don't know how many times they showed it on TV because we're at the game. But inside this stadium, it was over and over. They must have shown it 15 times. And every single time you saw his knee buckle that awful way. It was, Kendall Wright called it disrespectful. And it was.
Fans had enough. they started to cringe and boo. Saints fans, get it off the Jumbotrons. I get why you're showing it, because you're replaying that actual catch, the touchdown. Let's call it a touchdown, because it was a touchdown. I don't know how they overturned that call.
So let's get to that part of it, okay? And this is what I wrote about on WGNRadio.com. It's the process of the catch. And once again, here we are. Is it a dumb rule? Is it bad interpretation of the rule? Or is it both? I think today we hit the jackpot and got both. Because we already know the rule is dumb. The rule is this complicated thing where instead of just saying, if you catch the ball and you have 2 feet in or an elbow in or a knee in, it's a catch. You have to complete it all the way to the ground. I mean, someone tweeted at me, great tweet, that the officials wanted Zach Miller to take the ball to the hospital with them today, apparently, for it to be a catch. So, and I thought Carl Cheffers, the referee today, who did talk to a pool reporter at our request, just did not explain anything at all. So, I mean, to me, the big question was, there's 2 points in the replay where maybe the ball hit the ground. The first one was as he's falling to the ground, but to me, there's no shot at all that shows that the ball hit there. Certainly nothing clear. And then the other time where the ball clearly does hit the ground was after Zach comes down to the ground with the ball, still has it secured, rolls over, and then goes to grab his knee and basically lets the ball go. I mean, how long does he have to hold on to the ball for it to be a catch? It's ridiculous. It's just some point there has to be common sense here. Common sense, and it just doesn't exist with this thing.
Well, let me be clear on my first statement. I get why they showed the replay over and over and over again, but at some point, common sense and human decency tells you to turn it off. Am I right?
Yeah.
They replayed it over and over again of this guy's knee exploding. Not good. Not a good look for the Saints. I get why you're showing it, but at some point, enough is enough. What a horrendous call. That is a catch. Even by their own mind-boggling, confusing definition, that is a catch. Bad explanation by him. Just a bad day overall by them. Missed fumble down the sideline by the Saints. They missed maybe a targeting head penalty. I missed Trubisky later when he rolled out in the two-point conversion. What were they seeing today? Even when they look at the play over and over and over again, I don't see it. I don't see where the evidence is to overturn the call in the field.
And let's be clear, this does go back to New York now, and it's Alberto Riveron who is ultimately the one who makes the final call. Carl Cheffers is looking at the monitor here at the Superdome. They're communicating together and coming together to make the call. But yeah, it is. I go into more detail about it, but Dean Blandino's been part of this catch-no-catch controversy because he was the head of officials, and he had plenty of these reviews where we also didn't understand it. He's now working for Fox, and he said that the point where Zach Miller let go of the football, that the catch process was already completed. So if he's saying that, of all people, then it should be a catch. The Getty image that I posted with the story that I wrote, Adam, Zach Miller's almost looking straight at the camera of the person that took the photo, holding on to his knee with his left hand, and still at this point has the ball in his hands. He still had not let go of it. It's unbelievable how that was, but the overarching point of what I wrote isn't just like that should have been a catch. They got to clarify this. They had a chance this offseason to look at this rule. They discussed whether or not they should change it. And Rich McKay, the head of the competition committee, I quoted him in my story today, said that the officials like the way that the rule is now. They like it. They don't want to change it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. All right. The Bears lost a big opportunity today to get to 4-4, but 3-5. Let's be honest. Probably where they should be at this point. It's probably even a little bit better than we thought. It's going to be a tough climb to make the playoffs or anything like that. But they're a competitive football team. I thought today they played a... I thought the Saints both validated themselves as a real team today. And the Bears also were... They matched the level play for the most part. To me, even though the Saints appeared to be in control for most of this game, and even in the first half, it looked like it was going to get ugly, close to get ugly, you know, then I thought the Bears were actually, it was a closer game than what the scoreboard indicated.
Well, the Bears' defense is good. No, they're great. They're top five, top six, top seven defense. Drew Brees was sacked twice today, first time all season. Their scoring average coming in was almost 30 points a game. They were held to 20. Two field goals in the second half after 14 points in the first half. They were great. They really were. In a tough environment where Drew Brees and his team, they put up a lot of points. They're a fast team here. They hung with them. Yeah, they had some glaring missed opportunities. The Kyle Fuller offsides penalty on fourth down, which led to a four-point swing. Then you had... Drew Brees' deep ball to Ted Ginn Jr. that went somehow right through Eddie Jackson and into the waiting arms of Ted Ginn Jr. So they had their opportunities to make better plays. Adrian Amos kind of redeemed himself with his forced fumble and recovery. I thought he was bad earlier. Just missed a lot of tackles. I don't know what was going on there, but came to play later. But that's my biggest takeaway after 8 weeks at the bye week. The Bears' defense is special. They're good. Trubisky's clearly still learning. I don't know what he's going to be, but he's better than Mike Glennon. I know that. But the defense, I know this for sure. They are good. They will keep them in every single game, and they will give Mr. Trubisky chances to win them. And I think he will later this year.
Yeah, and we knew that coming into the game. What I think is maybe disappointing or the biggest story other than the Zach Miller injury is that we kind of knew that today was going to be the day where Mitch Trubisky had to put this offense on his shoulders. What I don't know right now without reviewing the tape, and also it's still his fourth career start, so it's hard to, you know, make too many grand conclusions. What I don't know is how much of the offensive struggles were really his fault today. The numbers don't look good, and they haven't looked good. That's why I don't think that you should base everything on the numbers. If I can flip to the game book here. 14 of 32, 164 yards, and a rating of 46.9. I mean, that's obviously... not good. You compare that to Drew Brees, 23 of 28, 299 yards, a rating of 111.2. But I mean, I didn't think Trubisky was that bad. Well, what I'm getting at here, though, is I think it's obvious that we can't expect a rookie quarterback to just magically make this offense move without any kind of problems. The limitations are still there with the wide receivers. Now you have a problem at tight end without Zach Miller. The offensive line had a bunch of injuries today. They were shuffling around, but they really haven't been consistent enough anyway. So, as a rookie at least, Mitch Trubisky cannot solve this problem by himself. If you were kind of hoping there's going to be some kind of miracle today where Trubisky just started slinging it all over and all of a sudden this offense clicked, it's not happening.
I think my biggest takeaway from his play in his first four starts is he's not overwhelmed by the moment. That 50-yard run he had, zero blitz, that was special. Mike Glennon can't do that. Not a lot of quarterbacks can do that. And Mitch Trubisky, well known for his athleticism, is not exactly a scramble-first quarterback. He keeps his eyes down the field. So that's a positive. I mean, he gave the Bears a chance. I tweeted this. Yes, there are problems at receiver. You got young guys trying to find their way in the NFL, and Kendall Wright's a packagey player now. You're missing your center. Josh Sitton was playing center today. I'm going to say it again. Josh Sitton was playing center today. Kyle Long was lost. Zach Miller is lost. And yet the Bears, with Mitch Trubisky quarterback, still scored some points late in the game. I think that's impressive. He's not overwhelmed by the moment. He wasn't overwhelmed by the sound here. Wasn't overwhelmed by the sounds in Baltimore. He can handle things. Now he just needs experience. He needs time. He needs things to fall in place around him. He needs better players around him. lot of things to be encouraged about with Mitch Trubisky.
I agree. And look, Deshaun Watson has another big game today in Seattle that both of us thought he was going to have problems with today. So, you know, give him all the credit in the world, and they're going to continue to get compared, fair or not. But I still see more things I like than don't like from Mitch Trubisky. The errors, the problems I see are both expected and excusable. I know people don't want to hear excuses, but so he missed a couple guys high. He missed one to Tariq Cohen that went high. He overthrew. Was that Kendall Wright on the last play with the interception that Trubisky admitted after the game he said it was a good call and a play they should have had, and he threw it high. So that's going to happen. There's also times where, actually on that throw to Cohen that he threw high, I thought Kendall Wright was streaking wide open to the end zone on the other side of the field. And he's missing some guys open. He's also, I feel like today for every mistake he had, he also made a play that certainly Mike Glennon can't make. Now, we can't compare everything to Mike Glennon because he's so bad. I mean, I think the points you brought up, you value the poise under pressure today. Did it end great? No. But the Bears did have chances to come back and make it a game, and they went down and they scored a touchdown. Trubisky was a big part of that. He seemed calm, cool, collected. He's dealing with a completely shuffled offensive line, no receivers. I mean, again, you don't want to hear the excuses, but there's plenty of excuses there. I think if Trubisky can get out of the season alive and continuing to just sort of make progress every week with still a lot of these good things that we're seeing too, I think he's going to be fine. I mean, look at the jump that Carson Wentz made from year one to year two. A lot of similarities, actually. He's got some weapons now. He looks, I mean, all those things that you value during a game, off the field, the composure, those things that quarterbacks need to have, Trubisky seems to have. He just needs to get the experience.
For his first four NFL experiences, Vikings in primetime, it's a top five defense. On the road in Baltimore, very loud place, very good pass defense. At home against the Carolina Panthers, top five defense. On the road in New Orleans, loudest place in the NFL against maybe his idol in Drew Brees, the player he's always going to be compared to. Not too shabby given the context of his first four NFL experiences. And this is a guy who went 4 weeks, or at least 3.5 weeks, without taking a first-team rep, because Mike Glennon got him all over those weeks when he was the starter. So context is important. I'm not going to make any grand proclamations about him. I like him. I think he's going to be really good. You never know. But the positives are there. He's handled things so well in some very trying circumstances that would, in most cases, get rookies completely annihilated. He's hung in there.
Yeah. No, he has. And I think that, you know, it goes back to what we thought coming out. I mean, I had him as my number one quarterback, but I also didn't think that the Bears should take him number three overall. I mean, I did ultimately make that conclusion just based on the fact that I thought there were some really good defensive players more that weren't as risky, and Trubisky needed time to work some of this stuff out. So for me to expect him to be perfect right now would be hypocritical. And he looks like a rookie out there. He looks like a promising rookie. I think that's what he looks like. Let's give you his press conference from after the game so you can kind of hear from Mitch himself. Obviously disappointed after the Bears lose this important, heartbreaking game to the Saints.
Can you put you on the back, catch you and what did you see when you was open? How that
Yeah, I just went through my progressions and fell into the corner on the backside, and I just put it in a spot where Zach can make a play on it, and he made a heck of a catch, and it was a great effort on his part, and the call was what it was, but I thought it was an awesome play and effort on his part, and it was a big play in the game.
When did you realize he was
hurt? When I went over to him, and he was still on the ground.
How tough was it to come back from that miss, just feeling emotionally?
It was tough. Zach means a lot to his team, beyond the X's and O's and what he brings to the field, but more what he brings is to a person, specifically to me, how much he's helped me grow over this process. So You never want to see a teammate go down like that, so I hope he's okay.
How surprised were you that call was overturned?
Pretty surprised.
Did you see any evidence that it had ever hit the ground when you were watching?
Not from my point of view.
What did you see Mitch on the last play of the last game?
Yeah, we had a little end cut coming, and I just hit. I had to get it over the linebacker, and I just left it a little too high. So we had what we wanted. It was a good call. I missed a little bit. I've made that throw hundreds of times. So just learn from it, get better, and just got to bring it down a little bit to give your receiver a better chance.
What did Drew Brees say to you?
He just said, keep working, congrats, and we know a mutual friend, so we just talked about that a little bit, and then I said congrats to him on the landmark he reached, and yeah, he's a great dude and an awesome competitor.
Do you guys feel like you're getting closer to converting these chances into scoring drives and wins?
Yeah, definitely. We were in it the whole game, and we still had a chance at the end. Defense continues to play tremendously, keep us in these games. And we're getting closer as an offense, so we just need to become more consistent. I thought we communicated great in a hostile environment, and we're really getting close. So nobody has their head down, nobody's pouting. We just continue to lean on each other and know we got each other's back, and we're going to keep working, keep getting better, and get back to winning football.
Heading into the bye week, what's at the top on the list of priorities for you?
Just watch the film and get better each day, whether it's doing treatment, getting in the weight room, watching film, and just getting guys healthy. So just continue to stay focused, really take advantage of this week because we're at the halfway point. So, and then just come back even hungrier for next week. So that's what we're going to do. I'm really excited where this football team's headed, even though we came short today. But we're going to keep fighting.
How would you describe what the Saints threw at you?
They mix it up. They mix it up a lot with the blitzes and the back end a lot more than we've seen on film. So there's another team that's played us differently than what they've shown previously, and that's okay. We just got to adjust on the fly. We did a good game, a good job communicating and adjusting to it. And we were moving the ball all game. We just got to find ways to convert those into points and finish in the end zone more.
When you the sack before Connor's missed field goal, was there something that you could have done differently you felt like on that play when you kind of went back on it?
I'm going to have to watch that one. I don't remember specifically. I would say I think they just brought a pretty good blitz, one we haven't seen before on film, if I remember correctly from talking on the sidelines. So that was just a good call to them, and I couldn't get down to my check down. And they covered pretty well on the backside, so they just got us with that one. So I'd have to say it was a good call.
These blitzes that you haven't seen before, do you imagine that what every team's going to do to you is be exotic or blow things at you that's not?
I'm not sure. I don't really know what the other team's going to call, but we're going to figure it out, and we did. So I think the next time we called it, we had a pretty good play that worked for us. So you see those types of calls, you just got to adjust on the fly, and teams are going to do that. But we just got to find ways to make them pay and stick to what we know and get good at that. So we'll keep working, getting better.
Center isn't exactly Josh's natural position. How did that transition go?
Yeah, he did a great job transitioning and playing center for us. So, I mean, that's definitely not easy going from guard to center, especially in the middle of the game. And me and him really didn't get any reps together this week. So he did a great job coming in and filling in, and the other guys around him did awesome. Tom and Bradley did awesome coming in and filling in and doing their role. So can't say enough about how the O-line battled all game.
Did the crowd noise and the defense make it harder for you to keep your composure than other games this season?
Not really. Just stay composed, continue to keep my teammates composed, and play one play at a time. So we were fine.
The long run, you had open space in front of you. What did you see on that play when you took off?
Yeah, just open space, keep running. Didn't want to get caught from behind. Didn't want to take a big hit. So just try to pick up as many yards as I could.
All right, thanks, everybody.
All right, so there's Mitch Trubisky after the game, clearly bummed with the result. But, hey, look, you get the bye week now. Hopefully that gives an opportunity for guys like Cody Whitehair and Kyle Long on the offensive line to get healthier. They suffered injuries today. Neither one seems to be too terrible. So good timing on the bye. The Bears are 3-5. I mean, what should be a realistic goal for the second half of the season? It should be an easier schedule. I mean, not everything's going to be easier, but you get the Packers at home without Aaron Rodgers, the Browns, the 49ers, the Bengals don't look that great. I mean, there's this second half of the schedule should be easier than the first half. I mean, what? We could talk more about this on Wednesday, but off the top of your head, I would say that 4-4 is a realistic goal, and 5-3 seems doable.
Absolutely. I was going to say the same. I think 4-4 should be the floor. You can beat the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. Come on, Brett Hundley. Come on. Come on. Browns, they're a mess. 49ers, they're a mess. You're probably going to stun one of these other teams. Maybe surprise the Eagles. You can beat the Bengals. With all due respect to Andy Dalton, you're Andy Dalton. You can beat the Bengals. So there will be games for them to win. It's the schedule softens almost entirely. The first half of the schedule was relentless. It was nothing but Super Bowl winners, NFL MVPs, guys who have gone to the Super Bowl, guys who have been first overall picks. Now you have Andy Dalton. Now you have C.J. Beathard. Now you have whoever the Browns are starting on any given week. Things change in the second half of the season.
Yeah, they do. But I will say last year, I think we predicted similar things at the bye week, and then they came out against Tampa and just completely looked horrible. So I think this is a little bit different situation, though, because of the defense. And, you know, you hope to continue to see growth from the quarterback as well. And by the way, shout out to the stadium worker for that background noise. Did not care at all that we were in this radio. Actually, we're in the Bears coach's booth right now, I believe. So maybe this was where the decision was made to challenge that play. I don't know. But, yeah, interesting day at the Superdome. This is I've never been here. This is a weird place, man. I don't know how you have a Super Bowl here with, like, two elevators. It's impressive. I couldn't see half the game, by the way, from my spot. I had to stand up the entire game.
Well, there's tragedy and, like, heartbreak in this building, man. There are some people who are convinced that there are ghosts who now dwell in the Superdome, and you've heard, like, the elevator wasn't working, the halftime meal wasn't delivered on time, just random or inexplainable things that are happening around here. So I don't know. I tend to try to be, I guess I maybe do believe in ghosts, but I'm getting way off topic here.
Are you saying that that guy who just walked in on our podcast may have been a ghost?
Well, he's certainly not a noisy one, but...
All right. We're tired. It's been quite the day.
It was a late night.
Well, it was a late night for you, yeah. Although it was for me, too. Different reasons. I almost didn't have a hotel room here in New Orleans. I almost didn't have a place to stay. I could have just slept with the ghosts here at the Superdome. But we're all good. We're all good. We'll get back to Chicago safe and sound. And we'll be back Wednesday. So our podcast this week will be Wednesday because there's just the Bears schedule again. But there's no availability Thursday, so we'll knock it out Wednesday and get that to you earlier for our bye week episode. Then we'll take a little break and be back. As the Bears resume the second half of the season, higher expectations, I think that's fair, but also measured expectations as well. We'll wrap it up. This was episode 126 of the podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read our post-game reaction, WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. And our voicemail line is open, 312-222-5050. You can chime in now, and we'll bring the best voicemails to you in our episode later on this week. Please subscribe, rate, review the podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, and the WGN Radio app. We thank you for doing that. Well, 3-5. I think if you zoom out and you look at it, you probably take it. There's signs of progress as tough as this game was today. We'll talk to you later this week.